are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
4 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What is happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Friday, November the 20th, and free agency begins today, if you can believe it or not. This is your boy Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, a sports writer here in Detroit City covering sports gambling for PlayMichigan.com, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well.
And I'm Brother Brian, and I once had a friend get dunked on by Maurice Taylor at the Joe Dumars Fieldhouse.
Thanks for listening to the show. Thanks for spreading the word about the Locked On Pistons podcast. Huge numbers coming from the downloads. We appreciate you guys spreading the word. Welcome to the new listeners who are checking out this show for the first couple times. We hope to be part of your daily routine, whatever that looks like during these crazy times. But the commute, the gym, the laundry, the cleaning up the place, whatever you do. I don't know what you do. I'm not trying to get into your life. But what we do here on Fridays here on the Locked On Pistons podcast is Fridays with Brian. I'm your host, Matt Shook, and this is my big brother, Brian Shook. And we come with the – this is kind of the fun zone, right? On the Friday show, we let loose. I've got a couple of odd side hard seltzers going right here. I think we're having a good time here on a Friday. And it feels good to be a Pistons fan right now, right, Brian? For the first time in a while, it sounds like.
Absolutely. It was a busy few days. And oh, but hold on a second. I was just informed that I've been traded to the Locked On Pacers for a pair of used.
Well, that's unfortunate.
It looks like we're getting a pair of used first generation AirPods and the remaining 8 months of a year long ESPN Plus subscription back. So,
wow. We tried to hold out for host Tony East. He would be a huge upgrade over you. But we'll understand that we're rebuilding here on Locked On Pistons. So we try to take whatever assets we can get. Maybe we can throw them all together one time and make a big time splash down the road. But we are going to talk about more trades. Troy Weaver is still making it happen, if you can believe it or not. And another, if you can believe it or not, 6 p.m. today is the official start of free agency. And if you know anything about the NBA, that means it could happen at any time. We're taping this late on Thursday night. We're really kind of on thin ice right now at this point, taping maybe a little bit earlier than we should have. This is silly season. Anything can happen. I got the alert set up on my cell phone. I'm expecting Blake Griffin to be traded to probably Houston for Russell Westbrook during the show. So I'm excited to react to that live here today. We're also going to hit up some of our friends over on Reddit, including a question I understand about Christian Wood, which is the calculus has changed a little bit on him. I'm going to give my thoughts on that a little bit later. But give me a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore for that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account, and check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons - Matt Shook. Give Brian a follow on Twitter, bshook12. He runs the Locked On Pistons account as well. Did a great job these last couple of days. All the memes, the GIFs, all the great stuff. Love it. And give play_Michigan, playmichigan.com is my day job. So give that a follow as well. Over 500 followers on Play Michigan. So we're excited about the growth there. But Troy Weaver putting in work again on Thursday afternoon. The Atlanta Hawks were the latest team that Troy Weaver made his fifth trade with. Well, I guess technically this is the fourth trade because two of the trades were technically folded into one giant trade. So really the fourth trade for Troy Weaver was the Dwayne Dedmon is the newest member of the Detroit Pistons. He is headed to the Atlanta or from the Atlanta Hawks, while Tony Snell, he of the expiring $12 million contract, and Kyrie Thomas heading into his third season in the NBA. From what I understand it, he was due a guarantee like tomorrow. So the Pistons kind of had to make that move right away. And Atlanta went ahead and in turn cut Kyrie Thomas right away. So good luck to the Creighton product there. We'll see how things turn out for him. Unfortunately, that foot injury came at the worst possible time last year when he kind of needed to start showing something as an NBA player. We know his credentials as the Big East two-time defensive player of the year and a guy who knocked down some shots that maybe there's some potential there, and we'll see if it ever happens for Kyrie Thomas here in the coming years. But then James Edwards III of The Athletic reported on Twitter about a half hour, an hour after the trade, that Dwayne Dedman might be on the move right away. So we're looking, and that's a big contract. So if he's going to get traded, that could be an indication that this might be a big deal, because that's a big number to be moving. And from what I understand, Dwayne Dedman's got a $13 million deal this year, and then also for next year at that same number, although from what I understand, it's a small guarantee. So if the Pistons try, or whoever tries to part ways with Dwayne Dedman next summer, it's not going to cost them too much on the cap. So it's not like they're taking a whole lot back for next year, and that the salaries between Thomas and Snell were equal basically to Dwayne Dedman. And really, for the Pistons' sake, getting one less player and to be a little bit more helpful on the roster spot situation is probably a good thing at this point.
Absolutely. I mean, there were, at one point, I think 16 players on the roster after all the trades were happening over the last couple of days. So,
and they still only let five on the court, as far as I know.
Right, yeah, and one ball. So they needed to, you know, cut ties with some people, consolidate that a little bit, and, you know, that was, they were able to take one small step to doing that. And like you said, Dedman's stay in Detroit could be brief, but I guess that would make him a Dedman walking.
Dedman walking, yes, like, absolutely. Dwayne Dedman is a guy who I've always liked. He's got great size, and of course he's got the wingspan. You cannot be on the Detroit Pistons with Troy Weaver unless you've got like a 7'7" wingspan. So I would love to see Tony Bradley and Isaiah Stewart and Dwayne Dedman go arm to arm and see if they can get through a football field or something like that. But Dwayne Dedman is a guy who can knock down shots from the outside. Again, we're talking about a guy who may never play a game on the Detroit Pistons. But I think the reason that I like him maybe a little bit more is I think Pistons fans of these last several years remember, just like I do, that he seemed to play really well against Andre. He was one of those guys that really – and Andre is a very good player, and we hope the best for Andre Drummond for the rest of his career. But there are certain guys, and obviously Joel Embiid is the top of that list. And Dwayne Dedman seemed to perform very well against Andre Drummond for whatever reason. So he's a guy that maybe here in Pistons land we overrate a little bit, although certainly in Sacramento they did the same thing, giving him a big contract that kind of out of nowhere.
You think you like him. Sacramento signed him for 3 years, $40 million. I mean,
yeah.
Would you give him that?
No, I mean, he's a nice player, but no, you do not want to give your backup center a $40 million deal, especially when you just, you know, bring in Marvin Bagley. You got Harry Giles as a first-round pick as well. Not a great move for Sacramento, but I think we can add that to the list of not a great moves for Sacramento. It's fun to have a team to laugh at when you're the Detroit Pistons fans, and God bless Vivek for being out there, and Vlade and all the guys that have contributed to that circus over the years. But the Pistons were not done. On Thursday night, as we got the email, and kind of by about 8 o'clock, 8:30 or so, to the reporters, and Keith Langlois of Pistons.com was kind of the one first to pass this along, but there was some surprises in the official notice about the trade, and it turned into a three-way deal between the Clippers and the Nets. They combined the Bruce Brown deal in with the Luke Kennard deal, so it's just an orgy of players trading sides in this one. But there were some surprises that were not reported before that, and one of them being that Justin Patton, who was signed a couple months ago and never did end up getting fitted for his Detroit Pistons duds, he is on his way out. He is traded, I believe, to the Clippers, although maybe the Nets, don't quote me on that. He'll probably be somewhere else in another day or so. But in addition to that, so Justin Patton is gone, exit stage right. Jalen Hands is coming, and he's a new member of the Detroit Pistons. He is a second-year guy. Was thought by some to possibly be a first-round pick last year, but slipped all the way to number 56, played with the Long Island Nets of the Brooklyn Nets G League affiliate this past year, averaged 11-3, a guy from UCLA. He was a 6'3" shooting guard, a project, probably a two-way type of guy, maybe be an affiliate player in Grand Rapids. So we'll see kind of how that goes. Not really all that much to be excited about. The other thing that was interesting about this deal is we knew that there would be some picks trading hands, but there's a lot of picks trading hands. The Pistons are unloading 4 second-round picks in this deal somehow. And if you're like me, you're wondering where these picks come from. Do the Pistons have 4 second-round picks? Turns out they do. One of them was that Portland second-round pick that was part of the Kevin Porter deal on draft night last year. And then they traded away 2024, 2025, and 2026 second round picks. So it wouldn't be an Ed Stefanski run team if you didn't throw draft picks out the door like it's Taco Bell litter at 2:30 in the morning from the drive-thru. I don't know. It's not my favorite thing about Ed Stefanski. I'll say that.
Well, if I know anything about any type of orgies, there's a lot of picks and hands of it involved in them. So
absolutely.
It's true to form.
I've seen it on the internet. That's all I can say. But a lot going on here with the Pistons, a lot to digest. And Brian, I have a feeling as 6 o'clock p.m. approaches on Friday night that we are not done with the shuffling of this roster. So, no, we're not going to give a Jalen Hands complete breakdown. We're not going to give
– what am I going to do with all this info?
We're not going to give the Justin – Pat. I think Brian prepared a performative dance about Justin Patton in honor of his 2 months with the Pistons, but we might skip that for now. We'll see what the YouTube channel can maybe get us down the road. But yeah, it's going crazy. It's Troy Weaver. You're not allowed to be a member of the Pistons unless you have a long, long wingspan. And man, just a crazy 36 hours. And I don't know. What do you think about this weekend, Brian? Are we talking about like things are going to kind of simmer down a little bit for the Pistons, or are you expecting like a 10?
Well, I would hope it'd simmer down. I mean, we are at about a 14 right now, so I'm sure they'll simmer down. But, you know, we know this isn't the roster they're going to be walking into opening night with. So there are still going to be some moves, and it's not like they can wait a week or two to make them. I mean, these have to be made now, obviously, when free agency's open, and, you know, training camp's just around the corner. So they're going to have to get this situated in pretty quickly, and there's still got to be – you know, I'm expecting, you know, two or three transactions of note that have to happen before they unlock the doors to the gym, you know.
And some big possibilities out there. Derrick Rose is out there as a possible trade candidate. There's always that Blake Griffin carrot. You never know that he could be dealt at any second. Could be a bit of a surprise. And then, of course, the free agency period. And we're going to talk about that next, coming up here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But hey, and you know, I got to tell you guys about Built Bar. It's the best tasting protein bar ever. And the new improved Built Bar is even more delicious than the OGs, if you can believe that. The 6 new flavors, caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, apple almond crisp as well. Add that to the 12 OGs, the ones you love, the oldies but goodies, the banana bread, the mint brownie. These bars are covered in 100% pure chocolate, soft and easy to chew as well. Second best part, other than the taste, they're healthy. They're great for the health conscious guy. You lose or maintain the weight while indulging in a delicious treat. The bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, great for the keto diet. Got the flavor profile of coconut almond. Let me lay this on you. 18 grams of protein, 180 calories, 5 grams of sugar, 5 grams of net carbs. If you're not paying attention to those macros, don't worry. You have my word. Those are all good. Those are all numbers that you want as part of your daily routine. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com.
Yes, sir!
All right, we're going to hit the Reddit mailbag a little bit later on. We got free agents to talk about, but more importantly, here on Locked On Pistons, brother Brian's got some details on a very exciting promotion that's going on here.
Absolutely. Here's the third and final clue for the contest for the Killian Hayes jersey. We know the jersey now. So here's the clue for this week. This player was coached in college by a former Detroit Piston All-Star. Remember, we had to do a draft profile on the player for him to be the answer to the question. That's a little bit of a clue for you. So that's all three questions on the last three episodes of Fridays with Brian. Now you're going to take those answers and find out what number each of those players was drafted at and add them up. And then whatever the sum is of that addition you get, you're going to DM that number to @LockedOnPistons on Twitter by Thursday, November 26th. And we'll choose the winner and announce it on next week's Friday with Brian. You get your new jersey.
So get that information into the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. Make up those new Twitter accounts. Make up more new Twitter accounts. Make up more new Twitter accounts. Keep following and get as many entries as you possibly can. But 6 o'clock tonight, free agency starts. And I mean, it's just crazy how close the draft is to free agency. Normally you have about a week, maybe 10 days to breathe in between these two things. But now it's coming fast and it's coming furious. And the calculus for the Detroit Pistons has changed quite a bit since a couple days ago. I mean, we've seen a clear direction from Troy Weaver in the front office. Maybe the clearest indication, other, you know, Bruce Brown and Luke Kennard being traded and realizing that they don't want to pay them next offseason is an indication that this is a long-term rebuild in my mind, and I think most people's mind. I don't think that's really up for debate at this point. And then, you know, according to the cap sheets that I've seen from some of the folks out there and some of the ones that I've also seen on Twitter, Nate Duncan's got some, Keith Smith's, I know, got some as well. It looks like about $14, $15 million of wiggle room the Pistons might have right now. Now you can get some more if you buy out certain players. Trevor Ariza certainly is a candidate for that. Rodney Magruder down the line as well. That debate about whether one or both of those guys ends up playing for the Pistons at some point is going to be something we'll talk about as this offseason kind of goes on. But long story short, you've priced yourself out of the Fred VanVleet market. I think you can kind of close the door on Danilo Gallinari. Montrezl Harrell's probably out of the equation, and Jeremy Grant. Brian, we prepared the top shelf free agents, and it's not a normal top shelf. It's a mid-shelf for this year. But I think those guys are out of the question for the Pistons right now.
Absolutely. The numbers aren't just going to add up. There doesn't seem to be a reason to go out this offseason and spend that kind of money on somebody when it's pretty obvious that right now you're playing for, you know, probably 3 years down the road to be a, you know, a legitimate contender. So going out and spending big money on a class that, like, you just read the names, you know, you're not going to be putting the fear into anybody's heart by adding any of those players this year. So yeah, it just doesn't make sense. And then, you know, on top of that, the numbers just don't look like they're going to add up this offseason.
And I think there's another category of free agents that we can kind of cross off the list at this point too. And those are the veterans who are basically not minimum salary guys, like the Jordan Clarksons of the world. Utah is pretty focused on retaining him. Part of the reason that they made the Tony Bradley trade with the Pistons was to free up some space for him. Guys like Hassan Whiteside, guys like Derek Favors, Nerlens Noel, RIP to a lot of the Detroit Bad Boys guys who have always been fans of Nerlens Noel. He's not coming to Detroit. However, there are some names on some of these veteran lists that are kind of interesting. I'll throw like Joe Harris and Davis Bertans as guys that are not going to be coming to the Pistons as well. They just don't have the money and the timeline that works for those guys. But if you're looking at a guy like, first of all, Langston Galloway, who we know has a great relationship with Dwayne Casey, and then a DeMarcus Cousins, Boogie Cousins, who is probably going to be wanting to go somewhere to play minutes, right? He's going to want to prove it to the NBA. And, you know, I don't think that the Los Angeles Lakers or even the Miami Heat or the Boston Celtics contenders are going to be giving Boogie Cousins a lot of minutes. So he might want to go somewhere like the Pistons where he can get some minutes for the first half of the season and prove that he's tradable to a playoff team down the road. So there's a lot of ways that Troy Weaver can go with this, and it's not necessarily guys that are it's buy low guys, really. I mean, he's looking for value tonight is really the most important part of this whole equation.
You know, you look at this roster, you can fit just about anybody into the rotation here. It's not a roster that's going to get, you know, opponents shaking in their boots. So if you can add some talent and get some good value to work with a lot of these youngsters maybe as well and actually work in a mentorship role. And, you know, I'm looking at some guys in the shooting guard position where I just look at, you know, Sadiq Bey and that shooting guard small forward isn't going to be ready for a while to be, I think, a significant contributor anyway, right away, especially with this quick turnaround between draft and opening night. You got Rodney Magruder, Svi, you just brought on, you know, Jalen Hands. So I'm looking at names like DJ Augustine, you know, Big Dog 3 is out there. You mentioned Langston Galloway is another one. Some guys with some scores, some guys who can shoot from outside that could help, you know, be a third or, you know, a fourth option on this team if Blake or D. Rose don't have it going one night.
Yeah, a couple other guys on our list here that we're looking at. How about a restricted free agent for Memphis, DeAnthony Melton? How about him as a shooting guard that you could give minutes to? And there's a lot to like about throwing an offer sheet at him because then you got to make Memphis match it. So it's good for Troy Weaver to make other teams hurt a little bit in that regard. So maybe the DeAnthony Melton makes a little bit of sense. Malik Beasley might be a little bit of a duplicate in Minnesota now that you got Anthony Edwards there. So where's the minutes for him? Maybe he becomes a little bit more available. So there are some options. But again, I think that the theme with Troy Weaver, this free agency is if they make signings, I think it's going to be later. I don't think they're going to make signings Friday night at 6 o'clock. I think they're going to let the market play out and see how things go. And if there is a guy that falls through the cracks, remember, there's very little cap space out there in the world. So maybe a Montrezl Harrell falls through the cracks and is suddenly more available at something like $8 million a year, which would have been preposterous before these last couple of days. But maybe something like that becomes available too. You got Gordon Hayward out there who turned down his player option kind of unexpectedly today. I'm sure he's involved in some sort of deal. He wouldn't have turned down that kind of money if he didn't know exactly what his future would be like. That's an interesting NBA story that's kind of developing as time goes on. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of options out there, but I think the most important part for Troy Weaver is to just be thinking about value. And speaking of value, the number one priority for the Pistons this offseason is now taking a bit of a twist and turn with Christian Wood, who's been excited on social media about becoming a free agent. He's been tweeting about it. It's been on Instagram. He's been asking on Instagram stories, who should I go play for? I mean, it's become a bit of a saga. He's earned it. I mean, he's played his way into this. We're going to talk about Christian Wood along with some other questions from the Redditors. That's coming up next year on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. All right, and thanks to all you guys for spreading the word about the Locked On Pistons podcast. I got on the Pistons subreddit and kind of gave a thank you out to them as the downloads are coming in. I knew we got a lot of listeners that are active on Reddit there. And I threw it out to them that if they have some questions that maybe we could answer them, and they had some for us on the Detroit Pistons subreddit. Brian, why don't you break those off for us here?
All right, and here's the first question. It's from Chef Curry Sauce, and it's the big question on everybody's mind. What do last night's and today's move mean for the future of Christian Wood on this team?
And I know it's been a little while since we've talked about Christian Wood, so let me kind of reset the situation here. Christian Wood, unrestricted free agent, just turned 25, had a great season, really the entire season for the Pistons, got huge minutes after Andre Drummond was traded and put up like really good numbers as he was a starter for a really, really bad team for the last 10, 12 games of this past season. But unrestricted at 25 is really unusual that you're not under any kind of team control at that point. And that's because he was discarded by teams like the New Orleans Pelicans and Milwaukee Bucks throughout his career. But he had his opportunity and he made it work, and kudos to him and kudos to Dwayne Casey for that. The Pistons have something called the early bird rights when it comes to Christian Wood. So they have the right to sign Christian Wood to a level that is equal to the average annual salary in the NBA for this coming year. So it is an amount that's going to be about something like $9 or $10 million. And they can sign him to a multi-year deal in that number. Now, if they can keep it under the average annual salary in the NBA, that means that Christian Wood can be retained by the Pistons, and their cap hit is that of a minimum contract in the NBA. So they will be able to pay Christian Wood $9 or $10 million a year, escalating up about, I think, about 12% per season. And so they could all go out and offer him like a four-year, $44 million deal, something like that, and still only take cap hits of that of a minimum salary contract. So this is a nice salary mechanism that the Pistons have. If he is a dollar over that amount, then they have to take him into the cap space. And like we talked about earlier, the Pistons have about $14, $15 million a year. All season, based on how he played, we kind of thought, I think he's playing too good. I think this early bird rights situation is probably out of the question at this point. He's probably become something like a $12, $13, $14 million player. So the question for the Pistons is, is there any world where he agrees to this $9 or $10 million deal? Is there no market out there? We know that the New York Knicks and the Charlotte Hornets are like two of the only teams with cap space. And then, of course, you have the sign-and-trade situation where teams that don't have the cap space could do a sign-and-trade with the Pistons. You could get back some of those bad contracts or whatever, maybe pick up an asset, a pick along the way, and that way Christian Wood gets to pick on his own which team he can go play for. If he wants to play for a good team, that's basically his only option now at this point, other than the other part is the mid-level exception. So if teams are not hard capped, but they still are over the cap, they can still give about a $9 million per year contract. It's called the mid-level exception. And that's an amount that's going to be very similar to the early bird rights deal that the Pistons could make. So it's a level playing field if you're the Pistons with the early bird rights compared to mid-level exceptions for a lot of teams out there in the NBA. But if he wants big money, we're talking about either a sign and trade or Charlotte or New York. So it's a very complicated situation. Brian, did I explain that at all well, or are we kind of lost here?
What? No, I think you explained it as well as could, going through
it's pretty complicated.
Some type of legalese there. But what you didn't do was tell me what you think's going to happen.
What I think's going to happen is here, Troy Weaver is indicating that he doesn't want to give long-term money that's going to tie up this team for the medium term, and certainly not for the short term. So I think the move is, and I think this is exactly what Troy Weaver is going to do, he's going to offer the maximum of that early bird return money. So he's going to say, hey, we'll give you 4 years, $44 million. We can even give you a player option after 2 years where you can get out. Maybe it's a 1+1. Maybe it's a 2+1. Maybe it's a 1+2. Give him that financial security and say, hey, you were a guy who never made $1 million as a basketball player until this past year. And now you're talking about making these big, you know, eight figure contracts here. So important. So good for him, and we'll see how that kind of plays out in the early market. If he doesn't agree to that, I think the Pistons should be looking into a sign and trade. I predict that that's what's going to happen. I think there's going to be a good team out there that's going to see the potential in Christian Wood, see him as something like a $13 million player per year, and give him the money that he deserves and the money that he's earned. And hopefully the Pistons can get a nice little asset coming back there. But no, I don't think the Pistons should pay $11, $12, $13 million per year at this point. The timeline doesn't work. He's not that young. I mean, he's young, but he's not 19. I mean, he's 25. So the development's not going to be where you want it to be. And as opposed to giving him like a $13 million a year contract, you got to bite the bullet and let him go and let him walk as an unrestricted free agent, and just take it as kind of the problems of the game. I mean, sometimes the numbers just don't work out. Sometimes the directions and the timelines don't work out. And Christian Wood might be kind of a victim of the direction that the Pistons are headed. And that might be all she wrote for this relationship.
In my opinion, he gone. Unless they make a move, clear up significant space, they can't afford him. And I think at this point, best case scenario, like you said, is a sign and trade that you could potentially get some sort of asset back. But yeah, at the end of the day, I think he gone.
If you're looking for good clues, if the Charlotte Hornets come out tonight and throw money at Montrezl Harrell or Fred VanVleet, or the Knicks sign up Fred VanVleet, that would be a good sign for the Pistons in keeping Christian Wood.
Okay. All right. Our next question comes from, I'm not going to try to pronounce it. It's MYOMYW. And he asks, or she asks, with what we've seen from Weaver so far in regards to his approach and in light of how the draft played out, I'm wondering if you're feeling better about letting Bruce go.
Bruce Brown is on the way out, and you know how disappointed I was to see my favorite Piston be traded on Monday morning to the Brooklyn Nets. But yeah, I think it's, as I thought about Luke Kennard and Bruce Brown, again, I don't love the trades because I don't love the value that came back, but I do believe that at this point in their contracts and at this point in their careers, this is the maximum time that you could have gotten the best value for Bruce Brown and Luke Kennard. And now that I see that the direction the Pistons are headed, it makes a lot more sense that they gave away Bruce Brown before you had to next offseason bite the bullet and give him like $8 million a year or $6.5 million a year, whatever it would have taken to keep Bruce Brown in the long term. So yes, this is an organizational shift. This is a philosophy shift, and Bruce Brown was a part of that. Am I still very enthused about what they got back for him? No, but John and Musa coming back, we'll see how he works out. And in Troy Weaver, we trust as far as these diamonds in the rough.
Yeah, but I'm okay with it. He was a fun piece on a bad team. But players like Bruce, they don't grow on trees, but they're not exactly rare. Bay can fill that role in the long term. Magruder possibly in the short term here. Bay hopefully will have the added bonus of a little better perimeter game as well. So
and maybe finally, we'll see Bruce Brown versus Luke Kennard in the NBA Finals.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's how things work out usually for us. All right, and finally, we've got our last question from McGatley, and he asks, or she asks, Do you think any of our rookies could make the starting lineup before we trade Rose or Blake? And what are fair expectations for Sekou this season?
I think the easiest answer to that is Killian Hayes possibly could turn into a starting point guard and have a little bit of a timeshare with Derrick Rose. We know that Derrick Rose is going to be restricted 25, maybe the most 30 minutes, which is good for him at his point in his career. So Killian Hayes is the only guy who's got a chance, unless, you know, Ariza and Magruder are both dropped off there at the cut bank, and that, you know, Sadiq Bey possibly turns into a starter. But at this point, if Sadiq Bey ends up starting this year, it's probably not because he's great. It's because you don't have a lot of good small forwards at that position. But the other question, Sekou Doumbouya, what do you expect for him in year two? I don't like to put numbers on things, and we know that these kind of expectations are fluid. What I want to see is a guy who's engaged night in and night out and in great shape and has energy. And from all we're hearing from guys like Bruce Brown before he was traded, from Dwayne Casey and some of his media availability, and from what we're seeing on the Instagram stories, all that stuff, it seems like Sekou is committed and doing a good job. And it seems like he's becoming the pro that you hope he is. He's 19 years old right now. He's not going to be 20 until Christmas time. So that's all. I just want to see a professional, a guy who's growing into a man, and a guy who's becoming someone who understands the responsibilities of being a cornerstone, being a franchise type of player with this team. Because unfortunately, he's thrust into that position with the lack of high-end young talent this team has. So, no, do I need him to shoot 36% from three? Do I need him to score 14 points a game and grab 5 rebounds? No, I'm not going to put numbers on it. Although I would like to see him hand out some assists for the first time in his career. He's not much of a playmaker right now. But, yeah, I want to see engagement, and I want to see Dwayne Casey reach him and show his bona fides as a coach who reaches young players and gets guys on the right track. And Sekou is a nice little petri dish for him to show that skill off and to become the player that his pedigree suggests that he could be heading towards on a good trajectory here for the Pistons in the future.
Yeah, and for Sekou, I would like to see him become a legit NBA starter this year and start showing up on opponents, you know, scouting report against the Pistons in the first couple paragraphs. After this year, I think Weaver and Casey can evaluate if this guy is somebody you can build around or is more suited as a second or a third option on a contender. If he's not that, if they don't think he's that, then they need to really reevaluate the roadmap that they're going to take with him. But, I'd like to see him be able to crack the starting lineup and be able to, you know, play consistently against NBA starting defenders. And as far as the rookies go, I think your best case scenario is that Rose plays well enough, you know, to move around the deadline. Hayes is close enough and ready to take over that you can watch him grow in that role for the last half of the season and, you know, still probably lose a couple more games to help with next year's draft. So, you know, a little bit of gamesmanship with that, I think.
Yeah, with Hayes, worth keeping in mind that this is a 19-year-old kid. I mean, he might not be playing the expectation that he plays some minutes only because minutes are available. But there's a world where DJ Augustine gets signed by this team tonight, and Killian Hayes spends a little bit of time in Grand Rapids next year. Like, that's not out of the question.
Absolutely. Well, thank you again for everybody for submitting your questions on the Pistons subreddit today.
Yeah, enjoyed hearing from those guys, and love all the listeners, love all the new listeners. Please do continue spreading the word. Sekou, I mean, it's interesting about him. Nothing would surprise me about Sekou 4 years from now if he's becoming an all-star for the first time or if he's, like, close to out of the league. His variance of where things could go here in these next several years is one of the more interesting stories with this team. And it's just nice to have interesting stories about this team. That's the most important part of these last 36 hours or so. But that wraps up this week and this edition of Locked On Pistons. I don't anticipate a bonus episode this weekend unless something goes completely crazy. We'll probably just be back Monday morning for you guys. But I'm your host, Matt Shook. He is Brian Shook, the show contributor brother Brian. Thanks to him for all his hard work. Now, tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Locked On Fantasy Basketball. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you guys on Monday.
Hey, please get some sleep now, Matt.